The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I will explain Alabama's victory Saturday. It's not nearly the compliment that it sounds like. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Monday, and disclaimer across the top of the page, everything I say from here for the next, like, 4 minutes is against the backdrop of what's the standard for Alabama. Dan, let's bring Dan in. I don't think I've ever said Dan's name during the opening music.
It's King, very rare.
King for a day, Thompson Twins. Dan, I say, what I'm about to say is against the backdrop of the standard in Tuscaloosa. Dan, what's the standard in Tuscaloosa?
National titles.
Against the backdrop of what's the standard in Tuscaloosa, I will explain what happened Saturday in Fayetteville. Alabama won that game. Final score, Alabama 49, Arkansas 26. Alabama won that game because they had way better talent. That's not exactly the compliment that it's supposed to be. Because my opinion of where Alabama is right now is they're not so buttoned up. They're not. This is an Alabama team that, again, they have set a standard. When they played Notre Dame, for instance, in the national championship game down in Miami, my gosh, I bet that's been a decade ago now. And, well, it has been. That was a national championship game against they were an undefeated opponent, weren't they? Wasn't 1 minute in that game where I thought Alabama was ever going to lose. Now, that was maybe, I don't know, one of Saban's better teams, his national championship teams, but we know where the standard is. That's not exactly where Alabama is right now. If you look at Saturday's win over Arkansas, and I got nothing but love for Arkansas. Do you know the biggest commentary about what Arkansas is and what they – Arkansas, anybody in the West right now, honestly, other than Alabama and probably LSU. Did you see this number? Arkansas is 0-15 against top two programs the past 15 seasons. Do you know what the takeaway is? The last time they beat them, they beat a top two team. They beat LSU in 07, I think. Arkansas is 0-15 since beating LSU against top two teams. You know what the real time? They can't beat the best teams in America. Well, no, they haven't. And they played a number two Alabama team Saturday, so the streak continues. Do you know the real takeaway? 0-15? That has nothing to do with it. The takeaway is Arkansas, because they're in the SEC West, Arkansas has played 15 games against top two opponents. That's the takeaway. And there's no free pass. Well, we played them early in the year. When does Arkansas usually play LSU? End of the year. So if it's LSU, there's one. So that's where we are. That's Arkansas's task. And if you look at Alabama, I have a lot of respect for Arkansas and where they are right now. And I will say, maybe Bryce Young wins the Heisman this year. Maybe Hendon Hooker wins it. I don't know. There's a lot of really good quarterback play around the SEC, and then some I look at and go, well, that's developing. KJ Jefferson, let's assume Hendon Hooker leaves, Bryce Young leaves, whoever else leaves. I don't know, Anthony Richardson. Everybody leaves. There won't be an SEC school, program, team, coach, OC with more of a challenge replacing its quarterback than Sam Pittman in Arkansas. There will not be any coach anywhere in the conference. And there is already a Heisman Trophy winner playing in the conference. Because Alabama, well, they'll figure something out, whether it's Jalen Milroe or whomever. But that's the opponent, and they were at home, and it's real. When I say it's real, their ability to block and move you a little bit and run the ball and make big plays in the passing game, and now it's big old Trey Knox right down the middle. I mean, there's so much I like about that team. And their pass rush, not their pass defense. So, on the road against a really talented squad that is not great defensively, especially the further away from the line of scrimmage you get. By the way, Slusher played. I'm sorry, he didn't help. He didn't have a great day at all. And it may be because he's injured. But I thought he was not going to play at all. But he was out there, and he didn't have a great day. One of the freshmen, I think it was Bond or Prentice, I'm trying to remember. Man, he got Slusher in the wrong spot. But you're on the road against a quality team, dynamic quarterback, good running game, quality receivers, and they can at least get after your quarterback. That's the backdrop of Alabama's trip to Fayetteville. And they did win by 3 touchdowns. They won because of talent. And I will give you an extreme example of what I'm talking about. Well, of course, Chuck, you win because of talent every week. Not always, and not to the extreme that I'm talking about. Jalen Milroe was an example of this. Jalen Milroe, I don't know how comfortable and confident and squared away he was when it went from, hey, look, there's Bryce Young making another play. Hey, what's up with the shoulder? Oh, I'm in the game? That'll bucket of cold water you. In a second, we're on the road, and okay, well, I guess it's me. And so he figured things out, including, I think, the longest run any Alabama quarterback has ever had under Nick Saban, at least at college level. And so he made some plays through the air. It wasn't always pretty and perfect, but Alabama won. And again, understand the backdrop is where the standard is, and the fact that they were on the road against a team that I really, really like. And they won by 3 touchdowns. For what Alabama's trying to get accomplished, this team ain't right. Jahmyr Gibbs, when I talk about – so Jalen Milroe is the perfect example of this. He was out there – how did Jalen Milroe get his 65 yards passing and his 94 yards rushing? How did he get it? He was a big, strong, athletic kid out there going, oh, well, I'll run this way. That was kind of Jalen Milroe the other day. Bryce Young standing in the pocket going, all right, first receiver, and there is the linebacker, and now the second receiver's open just like I knew it before the ball was even snapped. Bryce Young is Rumpelstiltskin, man. Spinning gold. Jalen Milroe is this big, giant, fast, strong kid with a football. Remember growing up at high school games? The cheerleaders would throw out these little miniature rubber ball footballs that had like the local bank printed on them. Those little tiny, that's what the football looks like in Jalen Milroe's hand. So when I say they won just because of talent, Bryce Young's way talented. Bryce Young's about, I don't know, is he 6 feet tall? And he stands in the pocket and is a wizard. So smart, so prepared, so all of this, so my shoulder hurts. All right, Jalen, go get you some. Well, I think I'll run this way. Jahmyr Gibbs, now, he's an advanced player. He's a junior. He's all this stuff. You know what Jahmyr Gibbs really is? Dan, did you see that touchdown, Jahmyr Gibbs, where he was step right, step plant? It looked like Jahmyr Gibbs had a rocket on his back. And, I mean, this is a thick kid. He's not tall, but he is a thick, strong kid. You hear a color analyst sometimes, don't they? Everybody, hey, put his foot in the ground. And go watch Jahmyr Gibbs against Arkansas Saturday. Whenever you hear a color analyst say stick his foot in the ground, that's exactly what he put his foot in the ground, and I mean he was gone. There was smoke coming off his cleats. That was pure talent, folks. And that's why Alabama won. What I didn't see Alabama winning, and it doesn't have to be as blatant as, hey, they busted out the Wildcat and there was no answer for it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you are a little loose with the football. I'm talking about what you're doing on third and fourth down. I'm talking about pass rush allowed. I'm talking about actual sacks, but also pass rush. I'm talking about penalties. I'm talking about all this stuff. Alabama had 10 penalties the other day, more than 100 yards. Does that sound like just this? Hey, Chuck, Alabama, did they play Saturday? I said, oh, yeah, they did. They had 10 penalties for more than 100 yards. At that point, your response would be, what was wrong with them? Hey, Chuck, did Arkansas play? Yeah, they had 6 penalties for 30 yards. Okay, but tell me about the game. How did they play? Alabama? Now, you go 6 for 30, that's going to be some pre-snap in there somewhere, and that'll drive me crazy. But Alabama, isn't that the – they're not buttoned up. And it's Bama, and they're supposed to be buttoned up. And it's not just supposed – it's not supposed to be just the talent that is the reason they win. It's supposed to be why, because they look like the 33rd franchise, and they don't. And I do not have this standard, I don't know, for Arizona. I don't have the standard for Oregon. By the way, Bo Nix, you've seen what he's doing? Goodness. And I mean running the ball, too. Good for him. He's having a season. But I don't have that standard for Oregon. I have this standard, and I'm supposed to, and Nick Saban wants you to for Alabama. There is so much more to talk about. Georgia and where they are, and I had said after 4 games, hey, folks, 2 of these you've been a little disinterested. I won't say lack of – I don't know what it is, just a little disinterested. It's now 3 times in your first 5 games. So they have the ability to flip the switch and just, I mean, drop a sack of bricks on Auburn, just like they did Shane Beamer. They can absolutely, they're good enough. Good enough. They're great enough. They may be the best team in America. They're just not playing like that. So there is a lot to get at. Texas is back. Is Texas back? I don't think Texas is back, but there is a bigger topic there. It's not just Texas, folks. I've talked about this now for 1.5 years. It is raggedy football. It is harder than ever for anyone to, quote, be back. Remember last week when I said the real takeaway needs to be look at Ohio State, Bama, Clemson, et cetera, and be the real takeaway isn't what's wrong with you, Sark? He's got work to do. Jimbo, you got work to do. There's a lot of, absolutely, work, get better. The real takeaway against what college football and player mobility is right now, the real takeaway is, dang, Kirby. So they won. Bama won. Clemson won. Ohio State really won. They were actually losing to Rutgers, weren't they? I think they were losing 7-0 at the beginning of the game. They didn't do the Lee Corso. David, do you know what I'm referring to? I'll tell this. Lee Corso was the head coach at Indiana, I want to say in like 72 or 3. And he got up on them. They scored a touchdown, like breakaway, like third play of the game. He ran the team out onto the field to take the team picture with the scoreboard in the background. He's like, I want proof. So Rutgers didn't do that. But so that's your takeaway, folks. So against what we expect and what the coach and the players and everybody associated with Georgia, Bama, et cetera, that's how we talk about this on Monday. And so it's a winner's Monday, and so we're talking about them against the backdrop of a dub, same as LSU and Mississippi State and a lot of teams. So we will break, come back, more of the Chuck Oliver Show on this Monday next.
Now more college football talk with the king of college football. It's the Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Georgia got a win, and that's what matters. Chuck Oliver Show rolling through a Monday. 9 states, 56 sticks. We talk college football because people want college football conversation. If you ever happen by end-of-game stats, it's called a game book if you get it, and there is a particular, and you can find this other stuff, just Google your computer. And in this case, look at Missouri UGA drive chart. Georgia's first 5 possessions, punt, fumble, punt, fumble. That is not so super duper, especially for a team that is a national championship program at this point. And they fixed it, and they got better enough that they went on the road and they got the win. And in the conference, that's not nothing. I want to welcome on right now from The Athletic. He covers Georgia. It is Seth Emerson. Seth, how are you today? You beat up?
I am. I'm groggy. The trip to Missouri always kicks everybody's butt because of basically where it's situated. You know, you're not flying into a major city, covering the game and getting out. You're flying in and then either driving to Columbia and then driving back, or in my case, I flew directly into Columbia, but I had to go through DFW, and it was just a whole thing.
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, so we got Seth, and he is 98.6, and he's with us, so that's all good. Georgia, I just went through the drive chart, and I assume that that has gotten some play among the Georgia faithful. Why do you think that is? Because I have said I don't know that team, and I can't comment on their focus, but I'll say three times now out of five, they have not looked sharp, we're ready to play sort of Georgia.
Well, I'd push back a little bit. I'd say, you know, Samford, they went and they won that game pretty easily. It was just in the red zone they stumbled and had some, you know, they had to take some field goals. A little bit of that going on against Kent State, too. I mean, they dominated total yardage against Kent State. They just had three turnovers, which kept that game close. But they are – now, obviously, the Missouri game, yeah, they stumbled and bubbled around and had to finally wake up and get it going. You know, it is a gradual kind of decrease. Like, yeah, the Samford game, I think that was just – look, it was an FCS game. The game was shortened to 12 minutes in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
You kind of put that aside. They pummeled Oregon. They pummeled South Carolina. And then, you know, stumble around a little bit with Kent State. And then damn nearly lose to Missouri. So the results are not going in the direction that you would want right now. And probably for a lot of little reasons that get magnified when you are A, the national champion, and B, start the week the way you did and made everybody think that you were just as good, if not better, than last year, which I was always kind of skeptical about that from the beginning.
All right, well, let's talk about running the football, because Kirby is not so happy about that. It wound up being dang near 200 yards. Tell me where Georgia is as far as, here we come, we're going to line up and mash you.
They can't really do that. And partly because they're not where they want to be with the blocking and with the running backs right now. Partly because teams are still playing Georgia like they're 2019, 2020 Georgia. They're still stacking the box. Like, that was Missouri's strategy. And I don't know if it's because they still don't respect Stetson Bennett's downfield ability. And, by the way, they have gradually passed downfield, like ball in the air more than 10 yards more over the last two games. So they're starting to adjust to it. Or if it's that they don't respect Georgia's receivers. You know, Arian Smith just got back this past game. Dominic Blaylock is starting to become more of a factor. A.D. Mitchell has missed basically three straight games. So they've got to get a little healthier there, and they may fix it that way. Or they may just have to adjust. Georgia just may have to say, this is the way teams are going to play us for whatever reason, so we're going to adjust.
All right, well, let's flip it around to defense. I mean, you and I could talk Georgia. I mean, if it's a national championship team, you can talk them for an entire hour. But we're going to talk defense with just a couple of youngins. Malachi Starks, I'm gonna ask you something that there's no possible way you could actually – is he the best freshman you've ever seen at corner in the SEC? I've seen some decent ones, but, man, that kid is – he's outstanding, and he's the reason potentially Georgia won the other day when he caught Schrader.
Yeah, as a safety. Now, I saw some plays where he's still figuring things out in zone coverage, but a lot of guys are. Like,
yeah.
They gave up a big play. Kamari Lassiter gave up one. I think it was a 37-yarder down the sideline, and he's a sophomore, but a first-year starter when he just kind of came off his guy at the wrong time, and Missouri burned him for it. But, yeah, I mean, Starks is a playmaker, and he's not making boneheaded decisions. That, you know, running the guy down at the one.
Amazing.
You know, I mean, he was one of three guys around him that kept going. It's not like he was the lone guy that tried, but he was the one who caught him. So that's a combination of awareness and talent.
And let me ask you, as far as, again, you know, talk about this all. It seems this is what football is, positional ambiguity. I know he has been outside locked up on receivers, but he's listed as the starter at free safety. At least he was on Saturday. What are they doing with him?
I mean, he's the safety, and they bring in Dan Jackson for a three safety look in their dime because they don't really feel good about their fourth, who would normally be their dime. And Starks may come down, and that's when you may see him in coverage. And I mean, look, it's college football 2022, so you're seeing a lot of four lined out, sometimes five, and so yeah, your safety's going to come down, and he's going to be a quarterback on some plays.
How was Tyke?
He was solid. I saw he on the Missouri's one touchdown. That was the one where they
the
had
impossible
a tight end.
Catch.
Yeah, and he was wide open in the flat because Tyke and I think it was Christopher Smith. Tyke hit the guy and then released, and nobody picked up the guy he just released. So I don't know if that was his fault or not, but you know he was solid. I think when Javon Bullard gets back from this suspension, whatever that is, he probably gets that job back. But, you know, Tyke was not the problem the other night.
All right. Put your mass communications degree or journalism degree to work. Tell me about Jalen Carter's medical status.
Kirby said sprained MCL was the kind of initial diagnosis.
Yeah.
Which, you know, 2 to 4 weeks is usually the range there with a defensive lineman. Does that get closer to the four-week part? So if the diagnosis has not changed, and it usually doesn't, like if it's something really serious, they kind of know right away.
Yeah.
Then, you know, maybe you get him back for the Florida game. The good news for Georgia is their toughest stretch is starting after the next 2 weeks. You know, you can't believe we're saying, well, they only have Auburn this week and then Vanderbilt next week. But, yeah, they've got Auburn, then Vanderbilt, then a bye. Then Florida, Tennessee, Kentucky, Mississippi State. That's the stretch you got to have that guy in the middle kind of pushing the pocket forward.
Seth Emerson from The Athletic. Appreciate you as always, brother. All right, Seth Emerson, we're going to break.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Now back to Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
No, we go all year. It's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show. Appreciate everybody coming here for your college football talk. We do it for 2 hours a day. I was just talking about Malachi Starks, and he's the true freshman in Georgia. I think he will cash more checks his first 5 years after leaving campus than any other player on that roster right now because he's exactly what the NFL wants. He is a for real safety who's really a corner. Do you remember Minka? I've talked about this. He was a freshman. Minka Fitzpatrick, freshman at Alabama, and a buddy of mine. I was like, how's Minka look? He's like, he's a freshman. Quote, he's our best player at five positions. I was like, oh, so he looks pretty good. And then he's first-round pick, and then he got broke off. That's what's going to happen to Malachi Starks. That kid is a stud. Started the show talking about Alabama. They get the win, 49-26, three-touchdown win on the road against a quality SEC opponent, and I still look at it as, when are they going to really look like Alabama? Want to welcome on now a guy who can answer any question we have when it comes to Alabama. Want to welcome him on from 247. It is Travis Ryer. Brother, how are you today?
I'm great, Chuck. How are you?
Doing all right. I was talking about just the amazing amount of talent on that roster in Tuscaloosa. And by my opinion, that's really why they won on Saturday, because it just doesn't look like – now, this is the standard, and I said this, Travis. This is the standard, of, you know, against the standard of what it is in Tuscaloosa. We're a national championship program. Talk about the penalties. Talk about some of the whether it's lack of focus, whatever it is that, again, they win by three touchdowns, and I'm trying to view them as a national championship team. Tell me what you see.
No, they got to get out of their own way. I think there's certainly a lot of room for them.
All right, we will get Travis back on. He is on hold right now. We will try to get him in a better cell right now. But, again, that is always what it is with Alabama. And that's how we started it, is there's a lot of positives to talk about, including a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback who is now on the sidelines with an AC sprain, I believe. And an AC sprain is not going to work, at least on your throwing shoulder. And if you didn't see, that's how it happened. He was running and making another play, and then he got taken down on the turf. And it was Drew Sanders, actually, former teammate. And so it was just another example of Sam Pittman making the right call there. Sam Pittman deciding that if we're going to have those challenges on defense going into the season, and then we're going to lose a guy like Catalan, and we're going to play with maybe with an injured slusher, if we're going to do that, at least we're going to get after the quarterback. And so that's what they do with Drew Sanders and the most of them. So when Young took the hit, Milrow comes in. Want to welcome back on Travis. So just talk about, again, against the standards of what Alabama is, how this team looks to you right now.
No, they struggle to get out of their own way at times because, as you outlined, it's not a talent thing. Across the board, they're fairly deep, and you saw it. They lose the best quarterback in the country there and in the second quarter, and they come with a backup who, you know, makes a big play at a very big point in the game, and the run game took over there in the fourth quarter with the explosives. But it's two road games for Alabama now, 25 combined penalties between Texas and Arkansas, and so, you know, not as if they needed additional motivation this week with Texas A&M up next, but they've got a lot of things to clean up. There's no doubt about it.
All right, let's talk about Bryce Young and a shoulder. What do you – I think I saw AC sprain. What's your understanding?
Yeah, we heard from Nick Saban post-game, and Nick was pretty encouraging, I thought. And if you saw the game, you saw Bryce there at the start of the third quarter. You were wondering if he was going back in.
I thought he was.
He was helmeted up, buckled up. I'm like, gosh, this guy's going to give it a go here in the third quarter. That did not happen, but there were a couple things I thought that on the short term and in the big picture were encouraging given that type of injury, not only a shoulder injury, but to his throwing shoulder. So we'll hear from Nick Saban here in about an hour and a half, and I'm sure we'll get an update. I think it's obviously going to come down to how he responded more so yesterday and into today than how he felt even at the time, because as we know, adrenaline and some other things can carry the day in that situation. So how he's responded, how that shoulder's responded in the last 48 hours, probably pretty critical to what his status will be starting the week.
All right. I want to talk about Jahmyr Gibbs, but I realized all the questions I was writing down was like, oh, wow, he's great, isn't he? And so you and I were just going to talk about how great he is. Let's talk about Jalen Milrow instead, because that may actually have a little bit of a question to it. He's a young kid that on the road in the conference, all right, go get you some. And boy, is he talented. But what is he right now as quarterback, do you believe?
Yeah, I think what was impressive to me more than anything was that it didn't seem too big for him. You know, he felt comfortable. He didn't always play great in the game. Throwing the football, he had Jermaine Burton open on a post there, I think, in the fourth quarter, and wasn't able to get it out in front of him enough, hung up on him a little bit. But third and 15 from their own 20, and they're up five, and, you know, he set sail for 77 yards. So he was willing and able when the opportunity presented itself. I didn't get the sense that they totally shrunk the playbook with him in there. You know, they didn't sort of revert back to 2016 and go zone read and design quarterback runs and those type of things. So my thought would be that if he ends up needing to go this week, a lot of what they do will still be in the package, but You know, there's no question that when you're talking about just pure passing ability, it's not just Jalen Miller. There's a long line of guys that aren't up to the level of Bryce Young.
Yeah, and by the way, Jay, he looks a lot bigger than he is by measurements or what. And part of it may be because he runs upright, which, you know, younger players will do until they learn that running upright's not much fun. But that is a big, athletic, strong-looking kid. Let's talk receivers. You start. Prentice, Bond, JoJo Earl is no longer just a rumor. Jump in, man. Talk about some of these young kids.
No, those young guys stepped it up. Isaiah Bond, a really good young player from Buford, Georgia, and Kobe Prentice, more of a local guy. It looks like in that 2022 receiving class, they've got some hits. Kendrick Law is a guy that's seen some action as a freshman as well, and it was important that the young guys step up, along with Earl making his season debut on Saturday, because some of the guys that you were starting to believe were going to give you that consistency on a week-in and week-out basis, they didn't come through. Trayshawn Holden, Ja'Cory Brooks, even Cam Latu had drops in the game on Saturday. So it was big for Prentice to have a couple of chunk plays, 40-plus yard plays, including the touchdown catch, and then, you know, Bond getting over the top. It changes the dynamic of that offense entirely. And, you know, that's before you get into Jahmyr Gibbs and obviously what you're able to do with him in terms of versatility and explosive play potential.
Kool-Aid is really, really special on punt returns. Let's talk about him as a cornerback as well. And by the way, comment on the punt returns. Was that his resume coming out of high school? Because I swear, I watched video of him, and it was always corner, 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 lockdown, lockdown, lockdown. I didn't pay attention to special teams.
Yeah, he had that in his bag of tricks, and also played a lot of offense.
Oh, sure, yeah.
In high school, as you might expect for a guy of that skill and talent. But no, he's been exceptional, and it just seems like he's getting more comfortable. He had a couple of muffs against Vanderbilt on one, and then he fumbled at the end of another. So you wondered, with Earl available again, if there might be the switch to Earl coming at Arkansas, but they stuck with him, and you know, his first couple of returns there, very explosive, and it was big because with Young out, they were able to set up Jalen on a short field on that one possession and get ahead there with the big lead. So no, he's very good. I think is equally important. It seems like he and Terrion Arnold at those corner spots are taking steps, and that continued against Arkansas. I think Kool-Aid had a couple of pass breakups. Arnold had one. They tackled well in space. So that's sort of been the question for that defense, and those guys look like they're rounding into form.
Am I remembering back when Trayvon Diggs was a freshman? Like, he had a bad moment in Baton Rouge. He got cussed a blue streak on the sidelines, and I was like, oh, he's a freshman. He, like, fumbled a punt or something, and Saban put him right back out there. And so it's interesting that Saban does – I mean, you got to perform. It's Bama and it's the SEC. But he talks about coachable moments when we see him chewing kids out, but he always gives them another chance.
Yeah, and Nick has a threshold, but I don't think it's as quick hook as maybe a lot of people believe it.
I agree with you. Yeah.
He hangs in there with guys. There's guys that, you know, off the field have had issues, and you're thinking, man, he's going to cut bait here, and he hasn't always. So, no, it's a situation with Kool-Aid where he's definitely got the talent to do it. And, yeah, Trayvon, you know, early on in his career at Alabama was a wide receiver.
Yeah.
So before making that switch, and absolutely, he was in that kick return mix. And so it took Trayvon a little bit to get to where he needed to be.
All right, last thing, and I say this all the time. You know, when you're in high school, you really do hate Nebraska or Notre Dame. You don't hate other teams when you're an adult. And so I'm an Auburn grad. I'm the biggest Jalen Moody fan because that kid has waited and waited and waited. It looks like he's having his season now.
Playing well, and he's still getting pushed because they really like Deontay Lawson.
Oh, they should.
They're rotating those guys, and so they've got three inside linebackers that they feel great about. You know, there was a lot made last week of Drew Sanders moving on to Arkansas, and that was a hell of a pickup for Arkansas. But I think Alabama knew with Jalen Moody and Deontay Lawson coming on that they had three guys that they could rotate or feel good about. You know, selfishly, you want to keep Drew Sanders because he's immensely talented and he's been great for Arkansas this season. But, yeah, you're happy for Jalen because you're absolutely correct. It And even with Christian Harris there at the NFL deadline, you were wondering, is he coming out or is he staying in? And Jalen actually went into the transfer portal there briefly and ultimately decided to stay. So, yeah, he's having a productive year. And, again, that needs to happen every week because they really like Deontay Lawson, too.
What is Saban's phrase? He's creating value for himself?
Yes. Yes, a lot of self-gratification. Yeah.
All right. Travis, appreciate you as always, brother. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chuck.
All right, get him on Twitter, at Travis Ryer. That is always Saban when he's talking about what happens to a player after he's drafted, what's happening during the season, what happened to a kid who signs. He is so blatant about it. He will say the phrase, fill in the whoever, Jalen Moody. Well, you know, Jalen's good, and he goes through all the positives, and he stayed here, and he'll get in the commercial to stay, and he worked hard, and they don't say what he's not. He's not someone who looked at the depth chart and decided that I would just leave and chase an open spot somewhere. He decided to work because that's the kind of kid he is. So he'll make that. Then he'll get all the way to the end and say, and he's created a lot of value for himself. Now, that's when the 19-year-old intern in the sports information department puts out the meme with Alabama's, like, 11 draft picks and the total of their signing bonus. And then, quote, this is so awesome in 2022. You have SMU tweeting out pictures of a gold Trans Am that they denied ever existed for a couple of decades. And now they're like, put it on the poster. Alabama's putting out, quote, these players created value for themselves to the tune of whatever the signing bonuses are, the first-year paychecks or whatever. So that's you'll hear Nick Saban talk about it, and so he's created value for himself. He made himself a draft pick, or he's made him a higher draft pick, or now he's a first-round draft pick, or now he's a top 10 draft pick, or now he's Minkah Fitzpatrick, who's the best player at five positions. And go look at me. When I just said that about Malachi Starks, Miami Dolphins drafted Minkah, right? And then they traded him to the Steelers. Do you know why they traded him to the Steelers? Because he was so dang good. Now, wait a minute, Chuck. Why would Chuck say that? Because he's really good. No. They traded him because they hit on that draft pick so much in the bullseye. What? Why would they trade? Because after his rookie contract, they were going to have to pay him like $18 million a year. And Miami was like, he's become too good for our payroll. Now, we'll spend on offense because we got Tua, and we're going to figure something out about him. We're going to give him Cheetah and Jalen, and we're going to protect him a little bit and a running back sort of. And so we're going to find out about Tua. At least that was the plan. But defensively, they don't want to play. They're like, we're not going to. Pittsburgh's like, we'll take him. Mike Tomlin, by the way. He was a defensive coordinator. Oh, yeah, he played defensive back. He looked at Minkah and was like, oh, I can do stuff with him. And so that was Minkah 2 or 3 years ago. He got paid. That's going to be Malachi Starks. Same sort of thing. Appreciate Travis coming on. We're going to break. Wrap up Hour 1 next.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Lettuce. Batted out of the air. It's a free ball. Jared Ivey knocked it out for Ole Miss. And Tavius Robinson has recovered. Yeah. Give me
the hell. Give me a Ole Miss 22, Kentucky 19. That am your final from Saturday. Sean McDonough, he's on ESPN. And he was doing the game there in Oxford with Todd Blackledge. I don't want to opine when it comes to somebody else's job. But what does that mean I'm about to do? Am I right? Todd Blackledge, until Danielson took over in like 06, 07, 08, Todd was on the CBS Saturday afternoon gig, wasn't he?
Well, it was before SEC on CBS.
Before it became the...
Right.
Okay. How can I... Again, I don't like being casual about this. When it goes to ABC, what is that, 2 more years? What's ahead for Todd? Because he's really, really... And you didn't hear him there, by the way. He's so good at his job. And there are... I've said that being color analyst on a football game... I find it easy. Now, here's the other thing. I don't know if I'm really good at it. I know the way I do it is pretty easy, and I have a blast doing it. It is my absolute favorite part of the job. Todd Blackledge is really good. And so is Gary Danielson and Brad Nessler. I'm just wondering what they, when they rejigger the lineup, because, Dan, you follow the broadcast industry. I may get this right. Al Michaels was on ABC doing Monday Night Football when the big game is NBC. Well, now Al Michaels is there. Now it's Amazon. Al Michaels at Amazon, right? So they trade announcers all the time.
Absolutely. And Tim and Herbie on Amazon.
There you go. So, and Herb Street, say what you will. The NFL is the better gig if you're a color analyst. It just is. It just is. Think about superstar color analysts. Troy Aikman. It's Tony Romo. It's who's the college superstar? You know, it's is it Gary Danielson? No. Gary's really, really awesome at the job. But you know what I'm saying. Like, there is some Tony Romo rock star-ish sort of thing. Like, people pay attention to him and just talk about Romo or just talk about – I used to talk about Aikman a lot more. Aikman seems like angry and bored a little bit. And no, actually, like everybody's on his lawn. But so again, that is from Saturday, Sean McDonough and Todd Blackledge. And did you see the post game? Who was doing? Molly McGrath was on the sidelines. See, I've told you, that's the really hard job. I've done Dan, you've done sidelines. I'm sure sidelines is work, man. You got to stand the whole time and my back hurts. But beyond that, and I'm talking like when I was 22, it sucked. You have to work for like one live. Let's go down to the sidelines per quarter. But did you see Molly McGrath talking with Lane Kiffin at the end of the game? Lane, I'll give him credit. He'll call himself out when he's the goober. What was it? Get your popcorn ready. And then later he's like, that's on me. Did you hear his comment, Dan, about the Kentucky pass rush? Whoever the – I forget – it wasn't Stoops. Stoops wouldn't say this. Somebody on the staff. I don't think it was Levis. I think it was, and I should have looked, but I think it was the OC. Yeah, you blitz us. We'll light you up. Post game, coach, what'd you think about your defense's performance today? Well, you know, we blitzed them, and I guess they were going to light us up, but, well, that didn't really happen, did it? Lane will call you out. You know what Lane is? Lane's the high school kid walking off the basketball court at the end of the game. You're supposed to kind of jaw back and forth because you're a high school kid. He's the head coach at Ole Miss, and he treats it that way. And he's chest out for his kids. He was like, oh, you're going to burn us? You're going to light us up? You're talking about my back seven. All right, we're going to blitz you. And they got after Levis, man. He had two turnovers, and they were really, really, really not good at all turnovers. That's the one thing I've said about him. As athletic and gifted and skilled and talented and hardworking, and I don't even care about what does he like eat bananas with the skin on and mayonnaise and whatever it is. I don't care about any of that stuff. Stop turning the ball over. That is it. You can take mayonnaise through an IV if you want. Just you can't turn the ball over. So that was Sean McDonough, one of the bigger plays there. Dan, how's your Monday?
He's probably got the cardiovascular fortitude, though, to be able to withstand that because
he's not a good-looking kid, man.
I'm not a cardiologist, but that kind of started to make me shake a little bit thinking of that visual that you just said right there. The other part with Lane as well is I've talked about it. I mean, it's endearing now because he can back it up. I mean, this team has improved every single week this season, and that's something that, you know, we talked about Georgia earlier. I mean, you know, you're bound to have those tough games that once it hits triple zeros, if you're ahead in the score, you say, well, we got through this one. That's all good. But no, I mean, you know, credit needs to go to him. They thought that once DJ Durkin left that the defense was going to take a step back, but that has not been the case so far. We don't talk a lot of Colorado on here, but for good reason. And I think that in large part for Colorado, you got what you deserved. You hired a guy who had failed in his previous stop at UCLA. And as far as I could tell, really didn't have very much connection to your school in order to be able to take the program going forward. They were on the right track with Mel Tucker. I think if Mel Tucker was still there, we're probably talking about Colorado a lot like we're talking about, I don't know, Oregon or UCLA or USC or any of the other schools in the Pac-12 right now because he recruits as such. Now is a, you know, chance for Colorado. Is, I think that it's a question they have to ask themselves. How serious are we? Because when you look at where they are in the footprint of this country, I mean, you're not far from an outstanding recruiting ground in Texas. You can still, like I've talked about with Arizona State, go out to California and get kids to say yes to you. Same with Las Vegas, Phoenix, the Denver area right there, which is continuing to have good football played on their high school Friday nights. So it's still a really good job if somebody is willing to put in the work and if they're willing to put in the work with him.
Yeah, if they're willing to spend. And that's one of the bigger things at Colorado, and that is a well-established situation.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to wadeford.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage-certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at wadeford.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands, an easy 1 hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.